Playing video games used to be regarded as a waste of time by Chinese parents. Remember those old days as a boy? You pretend you're studying, but you're actually doing something else on your Game Boy or on the computer, and the parents could sometimes, without knocking, sneak into your room, and then you might...
Busted.
Yeah, caught red-handed. But now, it seems like gaming has turned into something completely different, as in the Asian Games, the Chinese team claimed 2 gold and a silver medal in the esports section at the games in Jakarta in Indonesia. So this is all very exciting. Mm-hmm. And of course, when the gold medal is rewarded to one nation, the anthem, that's being played, right? And then the national flag... You see that up on the screen, too, and it's an exciting and solemn moment for gaming. So, Lightning, tell us what you've followed recently on this.
Well, actually, I wasn't into the games that was being competed on at the Asian Games, but I'm happy to find out that the Chinese team won the first place in Arena of Valor, one of the 6 esports demonstration events at the 18th Asian Games in Jakarta, Indonesia, on August 26. The 5 main team beat Chinese Taipei 2-0. Wow. To claim the crown. And China's player Huang Chenhui lost to the Indonesian player in Clash Royale and claimed the silver medal at the Asian Games on August 27th. China won its 2nd gold medal in esports section of the Jakarta Asian Games by beating South Korea 3-1 in the video game League of Legends on August 29th, but the medals will not count into the total medal tally since esports is only a demonstrative sport this year, and this is the first time esports has made it into the Asian Games. The sport will be official in 2022 at the next Asian Games in Hangzhou, so something to look forward to in 4 years, apparently. And actually, there are 6 esports items in this year's Asian Games, 3 individual games like the real-time strategy classic StarCraft II and collectible card hits Clash Royale and Hearthstone. Oh, good job for Blizzard. And 2 old-fashioned games, StarCraft and Hearthstone, are still making into the mainstream competition. And also there are 3 team games, Pro Evolution Soccer, the multiplayer online battlefield arena game, LOL, League of Legends, and Arena of Valor, which is an international version of one of the most popular Chinese smartphone game called Glory of the Kings, or Wangzhe Rongyao, created by China's internet giant Tencent. So I think I played Blizzard's game, like not necessarily StarCraft 2, but I played an earlier version of it, StarCraft. Mm. And apparently that was a hit game featured in many Asian competitions. I think it was a hit game in South Korea, mm-hmm. and also Chinese players joined the competition as well. And another popular game that I'm still currently playing as a revisit to my past is the Warcraft Reign of Chaos and Frozen Throne. Apparently, I just recently found out that people are still playing it and people have found creative ways to profit from this.
Well, you know, I recall being pretty, competitive when I was younger, back when I used to play a lot of games. And I would organize these events on the weekends where I would invite my friends over and we would play a game called GoldenEye. It was a first-player shooter game for the Nintendo 64. And we would have a blast. You actually would shoot your partners or whoever you were playing with, and whoever would win would have bragging rights for the entire week because I could only play on the weekends.
Oh.
Yeah, I had a really strict upbringing, so I could only play on the weekends. So I would bring my friends over and we would play GoldenEye, and it would be great because I could talk trash the entire week until next week. And then if I lost, and then of course I would have to be abused by my friends. So it was just, I mean, I loved that feeling of winning. I mean, it was what I lived for at that time in my life. I can only imagine getting a medal for winning in the Asian Games.
And also standing for your country, representing China.
Representing your country
as
well.
Beating other nations in the Asian Games or the Olympic Games. I've heard news that actually the International Olympic Games, the International Olympic Committee, is considering including esports as a form of sports in, or competition at the games.
I think that's incredible. I mean, especially because of the tradition of the games, it's always been a very athletic, you know, activity. But now it's it seems that gaming is going to be involved as well, and it's just incredible.
It's just as athletic. Please
hold on. Question: athletic? Question mark? How is that associated with gaming? Is that like the more flexible my thumbs are, the more athletic I am, and possibly I can win the gold medal? What is gaming have to do with sports? I understand there are some sedentary so-called sports like playing chess or what else?
Chinese chess.
You know that stuff.
And the game of Go. Those are considered as sports.
But they're not included in these major world games.
On that matter, I have a point to contribute. Actually, when deciding what to be included in the games, the International Committee take into consideration on the popularity of the game. So, the number of people playing the game in the number of countries is vital in deciding whether a game can make it into the Olympic Games or the Asian Games. So, what differs esports from what chess or other like volleyball really is there enough people playing it in enough countries? Is it widespread enough to be counted as a popular game? And when we talk about sports, when we talk about competition, yes, for the individuals who are in this, we think it's important for them to have sportsmanship, to have teamwork, to build their body, to challenge themselves. But really for the game industry as a whole, and even for International Olympic Committee and also or the Committee of the Asian Games, what really matters is it good business? Is it interesting enough to get enough people to watch it, to spend money on it? And as long as that qualifies, then I think it's okay to include esports. And depending on the trend that is in the industry, apparently a lot of people are in this, and especially young people who are willing to spend money in watching sports, watching esports, or in playing games. I think it makes a lot of sense to be included into world or regional sports events like that.
You make a few interesting points there, and I think we need to go through some of them. Okay, so when you talk about there's huge amounts of money that's involved, what kind of figure are we talking about here?
Well, China's esports market value reached 5 billion yuan last year, and this will grow to 8.48 billion yuan this year, according to the 2018 China Esports Development Report. And this was published by Tencent Esports, Penguin Intelligence, and China Electronic Athletics Magazine at the Global Esports Leaders Summit. Oh, there's a Leaders Summit. and Tencent Esports Annual Conference in Shanghai in June. So, and also by 2020, the market value is expected to exceed 20 billion yuan. Also, this is not just happening in China. Let's look at the global global market. North America and China are the two major pillars of the global esports industry, accounting for 37% and 15% of the market, respectively. And also in 2016, China's esports income growth rate hit 56%, 4% higher than the global average. So this future in esports industry, people can make money out of it. A lot of people's job depend on that.
You make some really valid points here. I feel that there's a lot of potential with this industry, especially in terms of money. But it does kind of break tradition a little bit in terms of, you know, the sport of athleticism, actually getting up and doing basketball, cycling. And then you have gaming where it's more sedentary and you just, you know, play games. There is a lot of popularity, but what it comes down to is how open you are to change, and if you are very traditional, and if And I find for myself, because I was an athlete in my past, it's a little difficult for me to be open to this new industry coming in and being admired on a global stage.
What kind of sports did you do as a young athlete?
Well, when I was younger, I played a lot of basketball.
Basketball.
And that was because Michael Jordan was playing. So I was really inspired by his influence and his leadership in the sport. And I also did some boxing as well. You know, Mike Tyson was dominating the sport in the 80s when I was growing up. So these really physical elements of sports is something that's in my DNA, so to speak. So I realize that I may be a little biased here, but it's just, you know, and I also have some gaming background as well. I used to play a lot with my friends just for, you know, my personal tournaments at home and at different people's places. And even in college, we would organize these events where we would destroy each other in a game called Tekken. And yes. And it was great. But I think that the going into the something as dynamic as the Olympics or the Asian Games, it just seems to be such a huge changeover that my mind is having some trouble adapting to it.
And you're not the only one that's a little bit of a traditionalist when it comes to this topic. Yeah, I love watching basketball. I remember back in the day, I used to watch NBA a lot, and
you used to watch NBA a lot, huh?
Yes, because sports is very physical, and I think there's something satisfying when you see these men and women
pitting themselves against each other.
No, like physically, they can do things that defying gravity. That's almost impossible for human beings to achieve, and
right,
they can go beyond that. And
absolutely,
that just felt great. And I suppose a lot of sports watching is sort of involving that kind of satisfaction, and amongst other functions as it can hold, like Tony said, then, you know, it can become sort of like a social thing.
Well, I'm certainly not an expert in like basketball or boxing, but I think there's more to sports than simply physical confrontation or challenging oneself physically. Because I really, in order for someone, Tony, you must understand that for a team to win, it doesn't suffice to simply have Michael Jordan leading the team,
right?
Such an exceptional character or leader at the team. There's also strategy, how you arrange your team, how you organize your defense, how you arrange your offense. That kind of things is also important for a team to sort of win at an international level. And likewise, for a lot of the esports games being competed for, like StarCraft, or I certainly didn't play StarCraft 2, but from what I know about StarCraft and also Warcraft, is that those real-time strategy games really weighs heavily in how you read the game, how much you know the game, or know the units you're controlling, and how you know your competition, and how you organize your strategy, how you develop. Should you open a base, or should you just run for a higher level characters to overrun your competition? So a lot of strategies involved, and also maneuverability. When it comes to sports, like how people conduct themselves or carry themselves on the field, it's important to show that you have a very excellent command of your body. In the case of esports games, like when you have excellent command of the character at hand, then more likely you'll beat your competitor. So it's about those things, how you make use of your brain and also how you exercise control on whatever you have.
And you're sitting on a sofa.
Yeah.
Well, I agree. And I can, because I was competitive at some point of my life in that gaming, I can definitely feel what you're saying in terms of having that chemistry with the controller and being able to beat every person that steps into the room. I mean, it feels great. It's almost as good as playing a sport, any competitive sport where you're victorious, it feels great.
Yeah.
And if that's in your DNA to be competitive, then you're going to, it's a wonderful feeling. I just, you know, my personal humble opinion is just the stage is just a little bit different. There's a lot of stages, you know, currently going on for gaming, such as the League of Legends World Championships and the Electronic Sports World Cup. And the EVO, which is a huge fighting game competition. So there's lots of other platforms where you can go on and you can play and compete and possibly earn a lot of compensation for it. But I just thought that the Asian Games is just a little something that's a bit more athletic and historic. I mean, it's been going on for it began in the 50s and it's still going on to this day as being an athletic sport. So it's just, you know, just a little bit of difficulty in my mind here.
Yeah, that's something that I don't know how people are embracing it. Some people who are gamers, I suppose, and I need you guys to explain for me, seem to be very drawn to watching other people play the game. And you can't even see the player. You're just seeing the game being projected on the screen, right? So that part I'm still a little, when I've watched a little bit of it on my computer, well, actually my friend's computer, and I just don't really get it. Yeah, so that's one thing I want to ask you guys. And second of all, apparently viewership is going up, but the guys and women that watch video game competition and those that watch swimming, volleyball, tracks, you know, field and tracks, you know, those kind of sports, I suspect they're two completely different groups of people. And now through these major world games, are they trying to bring these people together? This is confusing and interesting at the same time.
Well, I feel that the gaming is becoming more and more popular. It's gaining a lot of attention all over the world. And even now, like when I was younger, I didn't see a lot of women playing games. A lot of times they looked at me and detest, like, why are you playing these games all the time? But nowadays, I feel like there's a lot of women that are playing games and they're watching, you know, even watching a friend or someone play, you can get into it yourself. So I think you have to have that exposure to gaming and have an idea of what it is to play, to win and to lose, and the strategy, and then you can enjoy watching someone else play for hours on that.
Because you yourself know what kind of moves you can pull off while playing that game. Whereas when you look at some incredible character or some incredible gamer pulling something extraordinary, like pure luck or through sheer control of his character or their character, can achieve wonderful things. That thrill is there. I mean, that you can't overlook that. And honestly, I think watching esports is certainly more exciting than simply looking at people swimming.
Mm. What?
Or vaulting.
Well, because
what fun is that?
Yeah, you can also look at your level as a gamer, and then you can see someone else play it at a different level, and you're just like amazed, like wow. And you can really look at how someone plays and see, you know, the ability that they have, and it's pretty exciting.
You have to speak the language to know what a poetry they're writing.
Yeah. Mm. Certainly, I don't speak the language, and I feel very excluded in this discussion, and I'm struggling to keep up. But I know there are more than 250 million Chinese people who are gamers, and they'd be literate in the nerdy language that I should take back nerdy when there's too many people that are into this and would be able to understand what this is about. But there's also another question that comes to mind. That is, there are different games, and not all games are included in the world tournaments. Mm-hmm. So if you play game A and don't play game B, and when you're watching game B, would you be interested? Is that still something people want to do?
Well, some people are into real-time strategy games like I am, and there are some people who are into fighting games. There are some people who are into first-person shooting games or racing games. So certainly, it takes one to know one. It takes, of course, there are people who just enjoy gaming in general, but certainly, yes, there are people who would just enjoy certain types of games. But that's not a problem, because there are so many physical sports out there that are not included in the Olympic Games or the Asian Games, so that's not stopping people from enjoying the games.
Okay, well, that's something new for me, and I still need to take a little bit of time to take it all in. And I'm sure there are some parents who are listening to this show that are probably...
Oh, they're going to have a hard time.
Yeah, I don't know how parents are going to look at this, because for years, in my adolescent days, I remember all these parents being very worried when a classmate of mine seems to be addicted to games. And, you know, some parents even send kids to correctional institutions to get rid of so-called game addiction, and that's something that's still borderline legal or illegal. So how are parents supposed to react to this changing gaming aspect of things?
Well, I feel that parents are mainly concerned with their children's well-being and their, you know, success for the future. And I think at one time, traditionally, gaming didn't really have a lot of future for a lot of people. And so it was really easy to equate a gamer to a loser or someone that's not going to go anywhere. But nowadays, with this, with the gaming in terms of the potential in this industry, that I think parents are going to have to look at it a little bit differently. And if someone can play the game and can possibly become a professional gamer or get into game developing, perhaps there's a future. And they could show them a little more support.
I know I come up sounding a little too excited about esports being included in Asian Games, but still, I need to caution the parents that just because it's been included in the games doesn't mean your kids get a free pass to play games for as long as they want. Because even for sports that have been traditionally in the in the Olympic Games, they're still are not mainstream. The parents are still have to make a hard decision whether they should invest heavily into training their kids into a professional athlete in this regard.
Yes, it's like when you play basketball in your backyard. That's just far from playing in
a professional manner.
Yeah, it's kind of the similar thing.